Hey, what's up, creators? This episode is brought to you by OmniSend, the powerhouse behind email and SMS marketing that truly sells. Imagine transforming your pop-ups, newsletters, and even those abandoned carts into real sales opportunities, all while optimizing your budget. Last year alone, OmniSend merchants made a whopping $72 for every dollar spent on their email and SMS marketing campaigns. That's the kind of efficiency and effectiveness we all strive for. So if you're ready to see your numbers soar too, start for free and discover how OmniSend can revolutionize the way you connect with your audience. Visit your.omnisend.com/KDWD. Again, that's your.omnisend.com/KDWD to kickstart your journey to selling more stuff with less hassle. Don't miss out on making every message count. Try OmniSend today. Hey there, it's Kim Doyle, and welcome to my show, where digital marketing meets real stories, experiences, and strategies. You'll get a behind-the-scenes look at what's working and not working in my business, as well as other experts who show up and share their stories. As much as I love talking about tangible marketing principles and tactics, we'll dig a little deeper with mindset and explore what's required to create a business you love on your terms that also supports your life. I want to help you understand the why behind the how. Whether you're a seasoned marketer or just dipping your toes in, remember, marketing is a journey and the goal is to enjoy it. My desire is to guide you on your journey and remind you that no matter what life throws at you, you've got this. Hey, what's going on, everybody? Welcome to another episode of The Kim Doyle Show. I'm excited about this episode because, man, I have been on a roll. And we're going to jump into it. But today's episode is 137, right? Let me double check. Yeah, 138. Sorry about that. And it is, the old me would have been embarrassed to admit this. And it's just, I just don't care anymore, you guys. There's something so absolutely freeing about getting older. In the day, it's so funny. I was having a text conversation with a friend down in Costa Rica. And we were setting up a time to chat, and just they're on Costa Rica Central. I'm Pacific. She works, so it we're just kind of working around. Now, mind you, I will tell you this for those of you who don't know this, just food for thought. There's more than one central time zone, meaning Costa Rica doesn't ever adjust its clocks. So, like right now, I'm only an hour behind Costa Rica, and then in the fall when the states falls back, I'm two again. It's really squirrely. And it totally threw me for a loop when I moved down there and had a couple webinars scheduled. It was a hot mess. Anyway, so I was texting with my friend the other day, and it's funny because we were trying to set up this time to chat. Originally I was gonna go down next month. I thought, oh, I'll bring some stuff down. They've got, you know, plenty of space. I can store my stuff at their place. And but with my dad selling his house and like going on the market in a week or so. With my dog, and I just thought, you know what, I need to be here to make sure everything, you know, we've got open houses and the house is ready and all that good stuff. So anyway, we're setting up a time to chat. And this is the epitome of finding humor too. And when you get older, because you just, like I was mentioning, you care a whole lot less. But it was funny because in this conversation, we're both saying, oh, okay, I'm putting it on my calendar. And she's like, I'm going to put sticky notes all over the house so I don't forget. I'm like, I know, me too. Because the last time we actually scheduled it, even though it was on my calendar, we both spaced. So this is what I said to her though. And I put a screenshot in and I said, you got to love aging. And she said, no kidding. And I'm all, just when you stop giving a shit, you can't remember what you gave a shit about. And she said, haha, so true. Anyways, obviously I'm not forgetting everything, but it's funny because unless I'm at my desk, I have a tendency to schedule those calls late afternoon. If I'm not at my desk or my phone, I don't necessarily get the calendar reminder either. So anyway, like I said, I mean, I'm just at this point where I don't think much about how much time and energy I've spent worrying about things that don't matter, right? It's a complete waste. I do, however, make conscious decisions every day to choose my thoughts, right? To make today different than yesterday. And it's fascinating because the day that I'm recording this, I actually woke up feeling a little wobbly, a little anxious, and I've been on this real consistent, productive roll. And part of that is probably because, I mean, I've either been working every weekend on work or on getting the house ready for my dad. And so I think I'm probably getting to this point where I need a little bit of a break. So that's coming. And God, how many days? It's probably like 102 days until I have my place back in Costa Rica. I have it on July 1st. Whether or not I go down that day remains to be seen. But anyway, so excuse me, guys, it is so dry here. Anyway, so I was listening to a video recently by Dr. Joe Dispenza, who is amazing, by the way. If you're remotely interested in being able to change your life and your physical body and your health and well-being through the power of the mind, he studies neurosciences. So it's not simply, which I love, law of attraction, manifestation, you know, choosing your thoughts, all of that stuff. But I'm fascinated by the science we have now to support controlling our thoughts and behaviors. Anyways, I was watching this video with Joe Dispenza, and he was saying that the hardest thing to do in terms of changing your thoughts is to make sure that you don't think the same thoughts you had yesterday. And the absolute best way to do this is to start tuning out the things that no longer serve you. So I've always been fairly transparent about what I'm doing in my business, including the challenges and struggles, which is interesting because I've had people say, God, you're so honest about the failures and stuff. And what I will say in complete transparency is that for some reason, I have almost compartmentalized business failures as I tried and I learned what didn't work. Personal failures where I feel like I messed up. And FYI, guys, I might put an F-bomb here or there in this episode. But if I've messed up and, you know, whether it's in a personal relationship or something financially or letting somebody down, whatever it is, those I'm not as forgiving with. So it's much easier to be transparent with certain subjects and categories in my life, right? But in terms of sharing the challenges and struggles in business, it's really, for some reason, that's not been as hard as it might be for someone else. Let's say that, right? And in fact, I'd probably say I've been way more transparent about the challenges and struggles than the wins, because God forbid I toot my own horn. And I don't know if younger generations of women feel this. I know a lot of women my age and raised, again, I'm jokingly calling it, I am a recovering Catholic, but, you know, being modest and not being braggy or patting herself on the back, you know, that was not what I think it wasn't even at home as much as it was just this societal conditioning almost. Anyways, so as I've gotten older and hit midlife, right? By the way, can I just tell you really again that no one tells you that no matter how old you are, you still feel like this younger version of yourself. And for me, that younger version is probably mid to late 30s, like 38 is when I started my business. But here's what I've realized. I better start tooting my own horn, right? It is time for me to claim my expertise, my skills, my energy, my vibrancy, who I am, and what I'm here to do. And I believe this is especially true for women because it is just not something that I don't think it's innate or it's what's the word I'm looking for? Or it's conditioned out of us culturally. Okay. And I'm only speaking for Western cultures. But really, in addition to learning to be fiercely protective of my goals and my dreams, I have also become fiercely indifferent to others' opinions, my old self included. If I can share my lessons, challenges, and hell yes, my wins, and it inspires even one person on their journey, it's worth it. It's probably also because I feel that so much of what we've been taught and is accepted in society has been structured around what works for men. Now, again, guys, I'm not here to do the pro for against. I'm speaking from my context, right, as a woman. And so when you think about leadership as an example, this idea that women are supposed to lead the exact same way as men is ridiculous. And I'm not talking about, you know, strengths and intelligence and expertise and ability to do things. I'm talking about the way we do things. You know, women, I read once, women operate relationally, men operate transactionally. That's not good, bad, or indifferent. So it's really important for me at this stage in my life to kind of stake my claim in this space of being an example for women where I can, right? Because honestly, I mean, so much of it is bullshit, right? Like so many things that are set up have been set up based on men. Here's a little side note. You never think about it, right? But do you know, like all medical textbooks and everything that in medicine has been studied, again, Western culture, is based on a white male body, not even a person of color. So you think about it and it's like, what? Anyways, okay. Anyways, that's all BS. We all agree. I really don't want to go sideways because all it's going to do is probably piss me off and get me worked up, which doesn't help anyway. But what I want to focus on in this episode is the massive progress, the clarity, and the focus I have in my business in hopes that it's going to inspire you to do the same. So here is what old me would have been embarrassed to admit. And I was trying to summarize this in one clear statement, but it's not as easy as I thought. But I want to give you something so you know where this episode is going, right? I'm not going to like tell you a bunch of stuff and be like, so that's all it, right? It feels like I finally get it, okay? And that was in air quotes for those of you guys just listening. As in, I am finally fitting all of the pieces of the puzzle together in order to create a business I love on my terms and then get it working like a well-oiled machine. And yes, it has taken 16 years to get here. And I don't think it has to take 16 years. I don't think it has anything to do with technology or the ability to invest more, less, whatever, my willingness to show up. It was, well, maybe there is a little bit of the willingness to show up genuinely as myself and just say, fuck it. This is what I like to talk about. This is who I am. This is how I move through the world. Here's an example. I was thinking about this today. And I promise not to keep announcing all my off scripts, but this is all off script. So I have been actively publishing on Medium every day for, I don't know, like 10 days now, because you guys, I love writing. I've written so much content. Like all of these podcast episodes are full written posts first, right? Anyways, so I've been using DALL-E, DALL-E, right? The AI image generator inside of ChatGPT. I am, like I've said before, a bit of a Pollyanna. I like happy. I like joyful things. I like bright colors. And so I tend to do things in either a Pixar style animation, like an image, or I'm pulling Costa Rica in and I'm pulling in beautiful photos that I've taken in Costa Rica. I'm like, this is it. This is me. I'm not going to worry about it. As long as the image represents what I'm trying to convey, we're good, right? So, and there are some people that will be like, oh, why are you doing like cartoon images in your posts? Because I want to, because that makes me feel good, right? Okay. And this isn't to say that I've been waffling for 16 years and I didn't know what I was doing, because I truly believe that everything I've done has had a purpose and has brought me to exactly where I am today, which is quite frankly, I'm on fire. Okay. Yes, I said fire, F-I-Y-A-H. But I did this visual journey a while back of my from 2008 to 2022. But I did a different little timeline in the post. So if you're listening to this and you want to see it, it goes down. I'm using Cadence WP and they've got this incredible block in the post. Okay. But I'm just going to give you the quick synopsis of my timeline. So 2008 started my business. I was a WordPress chick. I was blogging and building websites. Never wanted to build websites. That's a whole other story. I launched the WordPress Chick podcast in 2013. I created an outsourcing company and I started coaching. So for about 5 years, I was kind of just creating content, building websites. I think I had done one or two paid workshops, but I had a ton of imposter syndrome once I really got into the WordPress space, because I'm not a developer or coder and I was calling myself the WordPress Chick. But yet it gets to be what you want it to be, right? That's what today me would tell 38-year-old me, right, who felt this imposter syndrome. In summer 2016, I created the Facebook group Content Creators, and I started pivoting more into content marketing, less WordPress. And at that point, I'd even changed the tagline on my site, was a place where WordPress and marketing collide. Excuse me. In summer 28, was it summer 2018? I think it was spring of 2018. I'm going to have to edit this. I pivoted to my personal brand. I redirected the WordPress chick to KimDoyle.com. I actually let the outsourcing company go. I took the clients and the developers and the designers. I'm like, here, you guys all work together. And which was crazy because that was recurring revenue, right? I knew I needed to cut the cord. In the fall of 2018, I partnered with a friend. I had an idea to create a physical content planner, which was a content creator's planner. I launched that with Jody Hirsch. It was amazing. E-commerce is a whole beast in and of itself. March 2020, I decided to move to Boise, Idaho, and the world shut down. Now, I will tell you, in between there, my mom passed away in the summer of 2019, which wrecked me. And I literally moved up to Boise a week before the world shut down or something. It was crazy. However, I will tell you that that year in Boise, as cold as it was incredibly healing. It was the first time I'd lived on my own without children or a husband or family, whatever. It was incredibly peaceful. So in the fall of 2020, I knew I wanted to do a newsletter. I was really getting into this newsletter space. And we had been running a newsletter called Creativity Published for the planner. And I decided to launch F the Hustle. Okay, that was the old hashtag that I had created years prior. And F the Hustle has now become the spark. Let's see, I'm scrolling still. So that was fall of 2020. In March of 2021, I was faced with renewing my lease in Boise. Excuse me, I knew it was just too cold for me. And in essence, I had just kind of taken a similar type of life I had and put myself in a different city. I was in suburbia and, you know, it was great to raise my kids in suburbia. I'm not really a city person either, but I also don't want to be in the middle of nowhere. It's a conundrum, but I just realized, this wasn't it. I really think my purpose in Boise was to heal and work through a lot of stuff, which I did. My therapist was actually stuck in Costa Rica for the whole pandemic. So we had weekly calls. It was great. But so in March of 2021, I decided, well, screw it. Let's just move to Costa Rica. And that was amazing. I've shared that story multiple times. And so I left Boise. End of March, I spent 2 months in California and was in Costa Rica by June 1st in spring of 2022. So in Costa Rica, the second half of all of 2021, all of 2022, which was crazy. And in spring of 2022, I think I'm going to go all in with F the Hustle. And my focus had kind of pivoted from content marketing to email marketing and newsletters. I had run some cohorts for email insiders. I still am all about both of those. But my focus was really on email marketing. And 2022 in Costa Rica was amazing, but I did have visitors every single month, January through August, except for February. But then I had a dog that had surgery, two surgeries. I had back surgery. 2022 was just a lot, you guys. And then in January of 2023, I changed the name of the newsletter to The Spark. And that was from an email I sent to my list saying, you guys help me out. I had been struggling with, everybody understood what F the Hustle was, right? It's about just getting out of this hustle and grind bro marketing culture. But I couldn't figure out how to transition that into sort of this core part of my business. And I got such amazing feedback. People got it. They liked it. They thought I was more positive. It has a negative connotation. Some people didn't like the F word, blah, blah, blah. Anyways, but so I make that change. And then I also decide that I am moving back to California. My dad had some major health stuff going on. I was fried. And I thought, okay, so in February of 2023, I'm trying to keep here. I moved back to California. So I have now been back in California for a year and have decided that I'm moving back to Costa Rica. I did a whole article, guys, on Medium about why I'm moving back a year later. This is definitely a move towards a lifestyle and not away from. It's been wonderful to be here with family and friends. And fortunately, it's not far. However, so the last little bit of this is that while I'm still focused on the spark, it's a huge piece of my personality and who I am. that I am bringing back everything is content, which is a hashtag that I created in 2016. All right. So now you're kind of up to speed. Okay. So that's been the trajectory. And the point of telling you this, this is definitely the TLDR version. But there have been other things mixed in there along the way, where there's a mastermind or a course. And you know what I should have added was, I would say it was last year too. Well, it couldn't have been much earlier than last year, but I really dove into AI and I have adopted it. And I love using, like, I've done conversations with ChatGPT. I did a workshop. I've done coaching sessions. And so it is a huge part of everything I'm doing moving forward. But, you know, along the way, different offers have been courses, which I still do, coaching, still do. I have hosted and participated in masterminds. There's been events and friendships and life struggles, heartache, you name it, right? That's life. We get that. But here is what has happened in my business since last May, which set everything in motion to get to what I'm sharing with you today. And like I said, after moving back to California last February, we were hit with, like, I called it like Snowmageddon. We're about an hour southeast of Lake Tahoe, and it was the heaviest snow I'd seen. And I was freaking miserable, especially because at this time of year, it's like 90 in Costa Rica. And the truth is, like, I so understand the snowbird analogy that as people get older, the cold weather doesn't feel as good on your body. And I had hip surgeries as a kid and all these things. Nothing bothered me in Costa Rica with the warmth. But anyways, after moving back, hit with snow, I got sick and then I got shingles. Seriously, like WTF, right? But that's what a little bit of stress will do to you. And I think the tail end of 2022, with my dog surgery, my surgery, I'd gone back at Christmas only to turn around and then be moving back another month. It was just a lot. So it was a really rough few months. And I wasn't sure, like, it was stressful. And I'd already started been looking, like, I came back, met my dad's, which is, again, great. I'm sure I've shared this before, 3 trips to the ER last year. But so it was good to be here, but I wasn't sure where I was going to land, right? And then in May of 2023, I drove to Oregon for a weekend away with 2 dear friends. And I had met them online years ago. I think they were my list. We did some coaching sessions together. I pulled together this little newsletter mastermind. We have kept it up. They're dear friends now. And the fun thing was that trip to Oregon was the first time we met in person. And it was amazing. I chose to drive because, I don't know, you guys, work, if you feel this way, I'm a huge audiobook podcast person. And, you know, working for yourself, it's like, I don't need long trips other than when I go down to the Bay Area. But I knew that I would enjoy that time to myself listening to audiobooks or podcasts. So great, great time together. And then on my drive home, the book that I chose to listen to, which if you've been listening for a while, you've already heard me say this, but is Be Your Future Self Now by Dr. Benjamin Hardy. And I'm telling you, you guys, it changed everything. And when I got home, one of the exercises he recommends you do is to write a letter from your future self. So I did that. I got home, and again, this was early May. I wrote a letter from myself dated December 31st of 2023. I also started binging a ton of Ben Hardy's content, and he and Dan Sullivan have written a few books too. And I was wrapping my head around priorities. Like the other book is, it's an 80-20 book. And for the life of me, I'm drawing a blank, but it's one of his books with Dan Sullivan. And the point being, we all understand the Pareto principle, the 80-20 rule, right? 20% of your activities gives you 80% of the results. But it's when I finally started thinking about just real narrow focus about what I want and what I'm going to do to get there. And the challenge with this, you guys, I'm going to tell you, is that you have to be able to hang on to that focus and faith when you're not reaping any rewards, right? When you're not getting a return on your investment of time, energy, and money. You have to stay the course. And so the other thing he recommends doing, and God, who was it? I'm drawing a from Good to Great, Jim Collins, right? It says, if you have more than three priorities, I'm going to botch the quote, so I won't say it. But the bottom line is, not everything can be a priority. Okay, so you want to keep that in mind. And he also talks about setting a big goal. So I did. I set a big goal for 3 years, and it's one I'm keeping private. I know there's something about some goals, like I love doing public accountability, but some of those, it's like, you know, they're just those soul goals, for lack of a better word. Anyways, one of the habits he recommends is journaling. And I've been up and down with journaling over the years. And some of the struggles where I've had with journaling is it's like, I don't want to sit and handwrite by the end of the day because my hands and my wrists are a little bit tired, simply from repetitive use of typing. And I think it's more my phone than it is typing. But I was like, I'm going to create a journaling habit for myself that I've talked about also, and keep it up, right? Every day I have a mantra I write in the morning. I write the three things I'm going to focus on that day. And then I get to work. In the end of the day, I write down three things I'm grateful for, three wins, and then what are the three things I'm focusing on. So I actually write those at night and in the morning. And you guys, I've kept that up since May. I mean, I've had little blips here and there where traveling or whatnot, but honestly, it's amazing. And so then in November, I was listening to a YouTube video by Dan Coe called The Most Profitable Niche Is You. And I did a whole podcast episode on the awakening I had. And this is where everything is content came back into play. But it was like I'd been struck by lightning. And it was absolutely in alignment with everything is content. And it was about letting go of this need to niche down. And I know that I've talked about some of this stuff, you guys, but I want you to see that there's value in the repetition and the practicing. Let's go ahead and just say practicing instead of practicing, but the practicing of what it is you're doing. And you might get sick of saying it, but you don't want to assume that everybody else in your audience has heard it all. Okay. But this is really when things started coming together. And I'm going to throw something else too about this, the power of journaling. This isn't the post, but one of the things that I had written from my future self was to host a retreat in Costa Rica in February of 2024. Well, I hosted that in October. And so there's something powerful about setting those intentions and just getting to work and not worrying about, has it shown up? Has it shown up yet? Okay. So in December, I don't know why I'm doing this like a timeline, I guess because of the way I started, but all of this is to show you that it does, it takes what it takes. And that's one of those reasons, that's one of those sayings that I've adopted to get myself off my own back and to get the pressure off my shoulders. But I wrote in December the podcast episode, Everything is Content 2.0, An Easy Guide to Getting Started. It's episode 124, if you haven't heard it. And it was like I had opened a portal to what I was meant to do. How's that for a little bit esoteric and out there? Stick with me. I promise it's going to make sense. Some of this came from a question that a friend of mine had asked me. And she's a dear friend who kind of went through this herself. She made a very conscious decision, and I need to have her back on the podcast. It's Maritza Parra, and she was part of a mastermind, and she had been doing some list building stuff. And at the same time, she's an artist, and she loves doodling and watercolors and self-development and personal, not just personal development, but that going within, that introspection that happens, right? And anyways, so she was at this event and talking about doing her core offer is Heartwork Journaling. It's a continuity program. And then she's got certification. And they're like, oh, you can't make money doing that. You need to stick with the list building. Well, guess what? She went with her gut, mastered paid traffic. She's a big inspiration for me with the traffic, and grew her business to $500,000 in 1 year, and is set to hit $1 million probably this year. So her question to me was, what do you really want to do? And where I've been stuck was niche down, and getting stuck in this space, which is where throughout my journey, there have been ups and downs with content production where I feel like I'm in a flow or not. And when I get stuck and there isn't a flow, it's because I'm thinking, what keywords and what do I need to talk about with email marketing today? I don't want to do that. I don't want to do it. And fuck it, I'm not going to do it anymore. Okay. That is what Everything Is Content is all about, because I have always had a really good mix, I would say, of interest between tangible and intangible. I love technology. I love the internet. I love AI. I love that we have this ability. We're living in this time. As much as the world can feel heinous and like a shit show, we're living in an amazing time, probably since the invention of the internet or like the car. I'd have to go back. And since I'm not a history buff, I won't do that. But, you know, AI is absolutely changing things. And it is so much easier to create and produce and publish online. And so all of that stuff, I love being able to connect with people all over the world. Some of my dearest friends are in other countries. It's freaking amazing, right? And I can hop on and see them live on a call. I mean, some of that stuff we probably take for granted, but all of that is the tangible. However, I also love personal development and spirituality and mindset and all of the things that we can't necessarily see, which are intangible, but are vital to figuring out how we use the tangible, if that makes sense. Okay, I feel like I'm going a little sideways into the matrix here, but the truth is, I need both. And I think most people do, right? Regardless of what that looks like, we all have that thing, that belief system that, you know know what fuels us. We know what drives us. We know what inspires us. We know what helps us refuel and reconnect. And, you know, for some, it might be spirituality and yoga. For others, it could be nature, getting out in nature and making sure you're breathing fresh air every day, which we all should be doing. And then for others, it could be traditional religion. To each their own. What matters is that you learn to listen to it. And so here's another amazing quote I read the other day. You guys, I love me some quotes. I do. And I absolutely love this. This quote is by Howard Thurman. Don't ask yourself what the world needs. Ask yourself what makes you come alive. And then go and do that. Because what the world needs is more people who are alive. So instead of deciding that, you know, oh, well, AI is huge. I'm going to jump into AI and just talk about AI. It's not sustainable when you do that. And I have seen this more for women, just in the sense that I think, you guys, I'm not even going to go there, but for the women I know, they have that thing where there's a pull, there's a desire, and I want to create a life and business on my terms. I want to be able to earn money doing something I love. I get it. A lot of men do, but for a lot of men that I know, it's the game of the business, regardless of the niche or content, if that makes sense. But, you know, that quote, how powerful is that? Like, we do not need more of the same. And so this is probably a little bit of a contrary opinion, but I don't believe that you have to start with the problem you solve for people. Because especially, when you're getting started, you may not even have a clear picture of what it is you want to create. But I'm telling you, everybody can start. You can start creating content. So, and mind you, I'll tell you, like, according to direct response marketers, me saying you don't need to start with the problem you solve is blasphemy, right? But the truth is, you do need to solve problems for people. That's why people buy from you, right? Because you have the solution to a problem they need. But the point is, when you try to start from that place, that's friction, because it's kind of like sitting here waiting for, I don't know, like this lightning bolt to strike you. This is your audience. This is the problem. This is who you're going to create for. This is what you're going to sell. Like, none of that happens just through sitting and waiting. You have to produce. You have to show up, which is why I'm sharing this squirrely journey of my own. And it's not really been squirrely. It's been amazing. But the point is, I pivot and I'm going to keep freaking pivoting. I think I've found it, but I do feel that everything I'm doing now is still on the way to something even bigger. And I don't know what that is. And If it doesn't show up, it doesn't show up because I'm enjoying the journey. But here's the thing. You are better off creating things you want to create and then sharing them and seeing what resonates with people. You know, I promise you, your people are out there. Okay, so let's roundabout way get back to the thing that the old me would have been embarrassed to admit. And the bottom line is, I finally know what it is I'm supposed to be doing. And for the first time in a very long time, I feel crystal clear. And I will tell you how I know that is because of what's shown up and what I have accomplished. And I'm not looking at accomplishment as this badge of honor, but it's because I've been in such a flow state and it's been such inspired action. And first and foremost, I know that part of this is that it's me claiming my skills, my expertise, and how I can help people. I know that my purpose in this lifetime is to create and inspire. I know it is. And I think I was just too worried about what other people would think if I combined this hybrid of the tangible and intangible. It wasn't enough of a niche. And yet when you go look at, you know, profiles and stuff, I help this person do this. I do this. And I get it. Those are all marketing principles. But, you know, the one person that comes to mind that I think of a lot is Mel Robbins. Like, she talks about everything under the sun. So there is room for everyone's voice. I'm calling this sort of my anti-only niche, meaning plenty of people have created businesses without only talking about this very narrow niche. Okay. So we'll call it the anti-only niche. And I explain this a lot in more detail in Getting Started with Everything as Content, that previous episode. But it's basically about coming up with one main category, which you could call a niche, and then subsequent categories that are of interest to you, that are part of who you are and how you want to move through the world. So it's not just about subsets of the primary category, okay? And so, what was that? Oh my gosh, you guys. So as an example, my primary category is digital marketing. And under that, I talk about content marketing, email marketing, newsletters, alignment, personal development, women in finance, and in inspiration, right? So there's a whole bunch of stuff that falls under that. And when I talk about women in finance, it's because I'm sort of going through this money reinvention year for myself. And I'm going to do a special series where I interview women who are not in a traditional finance per se, but they have independent businesses. They're either educating women, they're on mindset or money or investing or pricing or sales or whatever. Okay, so that is kind of in the works right now. All right, so here, once all of this became clear, here's what fell into place. I finally got my new website launched, which I've been wanting to do a new website since I don't know how long, using Cadence WP, which, if you're on WordPress, this is beautiful. And this is really for the non-developers out there is what I would say. Although developers could use it to create sites, it is amazing. And of course, they have AI in it. When I was doing this, it was really as soon as Everything is Content kind of showed back up in my life that I decided that I'm going to integrate Costa Rica into the brand. So all of the photos on my site are photos I've taken of Costa Rica. Most of the ones of me are also photos that I've taken in Costa Rica. Not all of them, but all the backdrop images are Costa Rica. And to the point, you guys, too, where did I put this down there? I'll talk about it in a minute. Sorry, I was like, I am trying to look at the camera and also scroll down and follow my notes. But I took Everything as Content from an idea to a 5-part email series into a workshop, into a coaching offer, and to an upcoming cohort, which I want to really be my signature core offer. And I am eliminating and simplifying any chance I can get. So for example, I feel like I probably have this reputation of being a platform hopper, meaning in terms of tools. But you know, until you get that thing that really just hits home and you're like, this is it. I'll keep looking for the right platform. I don't care. And I know it's not the tool, but if I find myself wanting to stay out of a tool, I know it's not the right solution for me. So Last year, I jumped into high level, which is incredibly powerful. But the truth is, it's overkill for me. I just want a place to host courses and a community and have sales pages, all that kind of stuff, right? Excuse me. But here's the thing. I tend to create my landing pages, my sales pages, all of that. I still use Thrive Architect within my site, even though I have Cadence, yes. And I just haven't played around enough with just doing landing pages, which I'm sure I could duplicate them all. But I'm very quick in Thrive, and I have templates created, and I can just adjust them. So I have decided to move from high level to Member Vault, which it's been a few years since I've looked at Member Vault, and I'm just in awe. It's beautiful. It's easy. So that move is happening right now, and we'll be live next week by the time this goes live. But you know, high level, initially, I was like, oh my God, I could white label this, right? You see a lot of people who have white labeled that, or it's very robust for agencies. But the truth is, I'm like, I knew I was never going to use it for my primary email marketing. I'm still on ConvertKit, still going to move to Beehive. I've had a lot going on. It's more than I need. And the ease of use for me was more important, which Member Vault is providing. And then what I realized is in my decision to move back to Costa Rica and integrate it into the brand, that part of my messaging and part of everything I do is going to be about adopting that Pura Vida lifestyle. Okay. And that is Costa Rica. It's Pura Vida, which means the good life, right? And so I'm trying to find ways to integrate that into everything I do. I love slowing down, which is so funny, you guys, because I'm a doer. I take action, and I've always thrived on getting stuff done. But there is so much magic to be had in being in the moment and being deliberate and intentional and focusing on the quality versus the quantity. And the weird thing is, the more you do that, the faster you get where you want to go, because the focus is there. But here's the thing. I was actually thinking, I love mascots, you guys. Kind of like I like my illustrations. I think I might integrate a sloth into my brand, which is a reminder to just be gentle about it. Be easy about it. Sloths are slow. And you ever look at a sloth? I mean, you know what's crazy, you guys? I only saw a sloth from a distance in Costa Rica. So one of these days when I'm down there, I will definitely do that. As well as I'm hoping in October to go see the turtles hatch. But anyway, sloths always look like they're smiling too, right? So, and they're not worried. So there's an element of that energy that I really want to pull into my brand as well. I am simplifying my offers, and I'm going to tie all this into the finally piece of the website in a minute, but I've simplified. I have three categories of offer: marketing and AI, content or email. That's it. And it was freeing and powerful for me to even consciously choose. Just because I created this doesn't mean I need to keep selling it. Maybe my belief system has shifted around a particular course or offer that I had before. And so it's really about, like, everything is content is really at the core of everything I'm doing. But simplifying my offers feels so good, you guys. Oh my gosh. I am, like I said, letting go of platforms and tools that I don't like. And the more I'm doing this, because of this energy and this flow and this inspired action, I'm finding that it's a lot easier. I'm snapping my fingers. I'm sorry. But I'm finding how much easier it is to produce or take stuff that I've already created. Like, I'm going to do a whole episode, you guys, on Medium and the results I'm getting. And like, I have so much content that I can repurpose. So it's going back and doing more with what I've already done. And again, it's because everything is fitting under this umbrella of everything is content. I am doubling down on my commitment to master paid traffic. I've talked a lot about Laurel Portier and her $5 a day ads ecosystem. And she has something she's called a blitz. So I deployed an ad and I was like, it didn't feel right. And I know for me, this is the work that nobody wants to do, that where I got stuck. And that it's very easy for me to work with other people and help them clarify a message or really get into from a copywriting perspective, right? That what is the problem you're solving and what is the hook and all of these things. And Laurel has amazing templates. And I did it, but it just didn't feel right. It felt ambiguous and fluffy. And so I'm like, screw it. I need to get her direct feedback. So she does these things called a blitz. So it's a 3-day blitz. And it's a week from now. And you guys, I have to be on the computer at 6 a.m. She's doing it in Central Time. I'm Pacific. Yeah, again, I was telling my dad today, I was like, God, I set my alarm. He's like, why'd you set your alarm? I'm like, you know, after being in Costa Rica on Central Time, I like being a little bit ahead and, you know, or maybe only being an hour behind the East Coast, depending on the time of year. But it's just, I don't know, I feel like I'm getting this late start to my day being on the West Coast. Anyways, so Laurel's blitz, though, we're going to get our ads up 3 days. And the cool thing is that she sent, when you sign up for the blitz, it's $100. It's 3 days. You get them going. And from there, she had sent also the January blitz. So I'm going through watching those, working on the messaging. You know, this is that stuff that it doesn't matter how much crap you blast on social or pushing your offers. You really have to understand the nuance. Here's a great example. This blew my mind, and I wrote this as an email, and then I published it as a blog post article on Medium, and it was one word making all the difference. So here's the example she gave, and I was like, oh my gosh. So she has this $5 a day ad strategy, and I'm going to paraphrase because I don't have it in front of me, but the difference between, let me show you how my $5 a day ad strategy, let me help you. Oh, it was something to the effect of, you know, let me help you create your ads with my $5 a day ad strategy that netted me $1 million with only $37,000 of ad spend. Okay, that's one. Now flip it. The difference between that and let me help you fix your ads using my $5 a day ad strategy. And there's, again, I totally botched that. I didn't probably paraphrase it correctly. But the key word being, the difference between let me help you create and let me help you fix. Because I think my audience is more the let me help you fix your content so you have more fun creating it, it drives more traffic, and you create a raving fan base or whatever, something to that effect, right? Because I'm working with more experienced creators, people who have a business and haven't been able to get their content to work for them. Okay, that's the space I'm at. So anyways, I'm doing this 3-day ad blitz. All of that circles back to doubling down on my commitment to master paid traffic. I'm going to master this year if it is one of the last things I do, but starting next week. So I'll keep you guys in the loop. I am tuning out anything or anyone that is preaching about how things are supposed to be done. In order to this, you have to do this. This is dead. This is dead. This isn't working. This isn't working, right? With the exception of, you know, the frickin' US government trying to shut down TikTok, another story. You're going to get, there's traffic on every platform. And you just have to be willing to commit to the consistent publishing, adjusting, testing, and tweaking. And one thing Laurel says is it's not necessarily 90 days to sales, it's 90 days to data, which is kind of an ouch. But she also says the fastest path to cash is through conversations. And I could not agree more, you guys. I couldn't agree more. So I'm adopting this sort of slow and steady while producing a ton at the same time. I'm going to talk about or create whatever I want to talk about and create. And it's going everywhere. All of my social is Kim Doyle. Personal brand, I'm not going to start talking about, you know, I found this recipe the other day for lemon brownies. I'm going to try them for Easter. So I'm not going to put that into a blog post or a podcast unless I have a story about the creation of it that I can then tie into a lesson or something, right? But you're not going to see me talking about recipes, because I hate to cook. I don't mind baking. Or You know, stuff that's not relevant to how I move through the world as a business owner. I am going to start promoting myself and my work proudly and regularly and consistently. I am not a smarmy, sleazy salesman, so I'm going to let go. It doesn't feel comfortable because I'm not used to doing it yet. So I'm going to embrace the discomfort and do it anyway. And I'm going to make sure that I'm selling something somewhere every day. And this for me is 100% about getting over myself, getting over preconceived ideas or fears or discomfort. You know, things don't get easier by not doing them, right? And it is what it is. So with the web, with the internet, with AI, whatever it is, you either, and ideally it's both, but you either need to produce and publish and put stuff out there, or you need to have deep pockets to only run paid traffic. You need traffic, okay? Every online business needs traffic. You need an audience. You need people who have a problem, and you need to be able to sell the solution. So, you know, I'm also in the process of making sure that all my social channels are up to date, my messaging is clear, and that the brand feels cohesive and consistent across all channels, regardless of how active I may or may not be in them. You know, like one thing I had done was, I kind of started doing this last year, but see, I wasn't clear. So I left it very generic. So like I'm kind of winding up here, guys. So don't worry. But for example, on LinkedIn, I updated the banner, I updated my profile picture and a little bio snippet, but it's just one of my favorite sunset pictures ever in Costa Rica. And then it says the spark. Doesn't say what I do, who I help, how I help, nothing. Okay. So I'm like, all right, let's step back and let's make sure we can clearly, that I can clearly express and state how I help people. And, you know, I'm kind of working through some LinkedIn guides on doing that. And then I think once I've nailed it, and I can apply that across all channels then, right? So that it's clear on every channel. And I haven't necessarily picked specifically which channels I want to double down on. I'm sort of in the data gathering stage of that. And I'm starting paid traffic next week. But you guys, all of this is to tell you, this is the thing I would have been embarrassed to admit, old me would have been embarrassed to admit, that it took me so long to get here. But the truth is, you know, as I'm sitting here sharing this with you guys, besides it takes what it takes, goddamn if I'm not proud of myself for sticking with this. I am, if one thing I am is tenacious, and you guys hear my heart, there has been plenty of times where I'm like, maybe I should get a job. Maybe I should just get a job. I could do something remote to take the pressure off financially. There's been ups and downs. I've had huge financial wins and I've had struggling months, you know, but I've not given up. I've not given up. And now what's really cool is I feel like my internal is matching the external, in that what I produce is in alignment with like my heart and my soul and what I feel is my purpose in this life to create. And you know, there are probably people that are like, man, what, I don't want the inspiration. I don't want the storytelling. You know, you hear people, you hear or read, you know, it's not about you, it's about them. But if I can share a story, I don't know what's going on in your life, so I don't know how to share that. But if I can share a story about me that makes it relatable, as in it took me 16 years, guys, and it doesn't have to take you 16 years. It does not. It could take you 6 months. And I was listening to an interview with Kieran Drew, who took him, I think it was 18 months to make his first dollar. But then his first launch did over $100,000. So, you know, it's there are so many different paths and journeys. Find out what works for you. The magic happens when you believe in yourself. So this is where, and I will absolutely stake my claim and plant my flag and all those metaphors. You have to get your mind right. You have to focus on, you know, feeling the fear and doing it anyway. Susan Jeffers wrote a book by the same title. You have to be willing to show up. You have to be willing to take risks. And again, to wrap this episode up, Wayne Dyer shared this quote, and I don't think he was the originator of it, but he basically says at 18, you're worried about what everybody thinks. At 30, you don't care what anyone thinks. At 60, you realize nobody was thinking about you to begin with, right? So our level of self-importance and bothering or offending or whatever gets in our way. And the truth is, the more you produce, the more likely you are to get the trolls or to get the opinions or to get the snarky comments. Screw them, guys. It doesn't matter. Who cares, right? And unless they are paying your bills, you got to ignore them. And the thing is, too, I always find that one, any trollish comments I get, I really have accepted that that's way more about what's going on with them than me. And oftentimes they come from people who don't produce. So keep that in mind. Anyways, guys, hopefully this was somewhat cohesive. I'm going to kind of get back on the interview circuit here and start pulling in some more interviews. You know what? I actually had been debating on keeping the podcast going recently. And I'm like, no, I want to give the podcast its due diligence over on YouTube, which is probably not going to happen until April. I mean, what do we have? A week and a half left of March. But to get the podcast episodes up there and see what that does. Now, mind you, that means 6 months to a year, just seeing what kind of traction I can get from this. So suffice to say, the podcast is not going anywhere. But I love you guys tons. If you've not done so yet, I would love a review in Apple Podcasts. I have to double check the Spotify link and then soon to be on YouTube. So have a wonderful morning, afternoon, or evening, and I will catch you next week.